I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Time marches on, and already we are past the middle of the year. We are in the middle of the seventh month of the year. And soon, the seventh month will be over. Soon, winter will be over. And then we have spring, and very soon we have summer. And so, the cycle goes on. Time passes so very, very quickly, and before long, yes, the day in which we are able to serve the Lord is over, and night comes when we are not able to serve. So it is very, very pertinent, very, very important that all of us, while we have breath in our life, to serve the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that when we breathe the last breath of our life on this earth, we will have no regrets at all. And so that we will be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight, I've run the race, I've finished the course, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has prepared for them who wait for his return. Now this morning, my subject is persistent faith blessed, persistent faith blessed. And we are talking about the faith of this woman who was afflicted with an issue of blood, an incurable disease, and she was afflicted with this disease for something like 12 years or so. We read from Luke chapter 8 earlier on. I'd like to read a parallel passage, and this is from Matthew chapter 9 verses 18 to 22. There is a slight difference here, but let me just read these few verses for you. Matthew 9:18 to 22, but please keep your finger at Luke 8, because we are coming back to Luke 8 as well. Matthew 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, the he here refers to Jesus, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Verse 21. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. The woman was healed of that hour. Now here we see the ravages of sin. And our two ravages of sin are sickness and death. And how did sickness and health enter into this world? Sickness and health entered into this world through sin. Our first father, Adam, sinned. And then as a result of his sin, sin entered into the world. For we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, meaning to say Adam, sin entered into the world. Through Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. As a result of sin, death entered into the world. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned because they are descendants of Adam. All of us are descendants of Adam, and we have sinned. And because of our sin, death is the consequence. And here we see two examples of the miseries and the troubles that are brought about by sin in this passage that we just read. First, we read of a father who was distressed by the tragedy that had taken place in his home. His daughter had died. Now, in the account given in the Gospel of Luke, we read that the daughter was dying, that she had not died yet. But the explanation of this could simply be this, that when he left the home, the daughter was still alive, just dying. But when she was speaking and came to the Lord Jesus Christ, someone in the home could have come and reported to him that the daughter had already died. This daughter was afflicted by a killer disease, and she was only 12 years old. Now, do we not hear watch in the news about children dying of very, very at a very, very tender age? They could die of a disease like the meningococcal disease, or they could have died of leukemia. They die at a very tender age, and indeed death is no respecter of age. Yes, in my home, my grandmother died at a good old age. She died at the age of 90 plus. My brother, who was just one step above me, he died at the age of 57. And the youngest member in my home to die was my nephew. He died when he was only 2 months old. So you see, death is no respecter of age. When death strikes, when death knocks at your door, you cannot say, I'm very young. Yes, I'm not ready yet. I'm only 10 years old. Yes, so you cannot take me away. I'm only 20 years old. You can't take me away. You can't say that. When death knocks at your door, you just have to say yes. No matter what you want to do or do not want to do, friends, you have got no choice. You have to say yes. Now then we see this woman afflicted with an issue of blood for 12 years. She was one among millions and millions of people throughout the ages afflicted with an incurable disease. So death and sickness, my dear friends, let us understand, were not evils created by the one true living God. When God created his entire creation, he created everything perfect. He created everything very good. At the end of his creation, on the sixth day, this was what the Lord said. Behold, it was very good. Everything that he created was very good. Everything was perfect. Now it was sin that spoiled this perfection. It was sin that spoiled this goodness. Now let us look at the life of this woman who was troubled by the ravage of sin. She was suffering from this disease that troubled her for 12 years. She came trembling to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then she went away triumphant. I like us first of all to look at her desperation before she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I like next to look at her determination to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number three, I like us to see her deliverance by the Lord Jesus Christ from her illness. And then number four, I'd like us to see her declaration of the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First of all, look at her desperation. Now her desperate condition was very much like a person without the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 43, we see, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Look at her physical misery. She was suffering from a blood discharge for something like 12 years. And she saw many doctors, spend all her savings, her living, but still she was not healed of her disease. Her disease was chronic, debilitating, and very weakening. Her health was gone. She was actually hastening towards her death, you might say. Now, we might not suffer from the same disease this woman suffered from, but like her, we are moving towards this event that is inevitable, death. She was moving towards death, perhaps far, far faster than our moving towards death. But all the same, my dear friends, we are all moving towards this event called death. Yes, it is a matter of time. Death will come upon us. It is not a question of if, but it is a question of when. Very often we say, if I should die, in many instances we say that. But actually the right thing to say is, when I die, because death is definitely going to come upon us. So it's the right thing for us to say is, when I die. So death is something that is inevitable, it will come upon us. It was not only that woman who was expecting to die, we will one day have to die, whether we like it or not. And then throughout the ages, man has tried to unlock this thing called the mystery of death. So they do all kinds of investigations, all kinds of studies, all kinds of researchers, but they have never been able to unlock this mystery called aging. People still continue to age. But of course today, with the advancement of science, or medical science in particular, life is prolonged. So we say that now life goes beyond the proverbial 70 years and 10 that is spoken of in the Word of God. 70 years. So maybe today the average lifespan is what? 78? 75? 78. Perhaps that is the average lifespan. But the truth of the matter is, no matter how long life is prolonged, you can't run far away from the proverbial 70 years and 10 that is spoken of in the Word of God. And then let's say that you are very, very strong. You can go beyond the 70 years and 10. And you are able to extend your life by a good number of years. But what are these years? Are they really good years? No, my dear friends. The Word of God is never wrong. It is, the Word of God says, these years are nothing but labor and sorrow. They consist of nothing but labor and sorrow. And that is absolutely true. You grow older, you get more aches and pains, right? You young people don't understand what old age is. When we talk about old age, you don't understand. But I'm old now, I understand what aches and pains are. You wake up in the morning for no rhyme and reason, you get a pain here, you get a pain there, and then you stretch your leg and you have a cramp. You know, you get all these kinds of problems. So, friends, we are in a desperate situation because the truth of the matter is all of us are heading towards this event called death. And if you are an unbeliever, you are indeed in a very, very desperate situation because that is not the end. When you leave this earth unrepentant, you are heading for eternal hell. Then financially, this woman was also desperate because she had spent all her money seeking for the cure that she wanted to have. And surely we have heard of people who have spent all their life savings seeking for a cure for maybe themselves or for their loved one, for their wife or for their daughter or for their husband. Yes, but at the end of the seeking for the cure, yes, the life that they are hoping to save, still slips away from them. Now financially, friends, you could be very well off. Yes, but you still would be in a very, very desperate situation. You could spend all the money that you want to spend to seek for the cure, yes, and still have plenty of money left, but the cure might just elude you. You might still be sick, might not be healed. And this was the case with this very, very wealthy woman, the sister of the wife of the Sultan of Brunei. Some years ago, she was stricken with cancer, and she went to Singapore to be treated by the doctors in Singapore. You know how much she spent? You want to guess for her treatment of cancer? $24 million. Did she recover? No! She finally had to succumb to cancer. Yes. So you spend all the money that you want to spend, but you still can't buy back the life that you want to have. You can't buy back the health that you want to have. And that was exactly what was happening to this woman. She spent all her life savings. She could not buy back the health that she wanted to have. Now, of course, buying back her health was something, was a direct purpose of spending the money. But then, in actual fact, what was she actually hoping to get when she spent all her money? You think about it. My dear friends, isn't it not true that she was seeking for happiness? You think about it. She was hopeful that if she got well, then she would be very happy, right? That was what she was seeking for. So when she spent the money, she was hopeful of buying this thing called happiness. But happiness cannot be bought with money. I'm talking about true happiness. It cannot be bought with money. I told you about this man called René Rifkin. He was in his prime in the 1980s and the 1990s. He was a Sydney sider. He was a wheeler dealer. Very, very famous, very wealthy, and he rubbed shoulders with many, many wealthy and influential men. And in his heyday, he was so wealthy, he could buy anything he wanted to buy, actually. And then he ran foul of the law, and then he was put into prison, but his imprisonment was really very light. He had only to stay in prison during the weekends. Strange kind of arrangement. During the weekdays, he could come out. Weekends, he went to jail. But he was so depressed that finally he committed suicide. You know what one reporter or one journalist said about René Rifkin? He said William Ruskin was so wealthy, so rich that he could buy anything he wanted to buy, except happiness. He could not buy it. Because why? Because true happiness is not in anything else. True happiness cannot be bought. True happiness is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the psalmist said it very, very correctly in Psalm 73, verses 25-26. I'd like us to look at these two very precious verses. Let us never forget these two verses. Psalm 73, verses 25-26. I'm sure when Deacon Yap Wai-ho was here, he must have dealt with these two verses. Psalm 73, verses 25-26. I'd like us to read these two verses together. Psalm 73, 25-26. Let's read them together. Let's read. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whom have I desire in heaven but thee? The psalmist here, he said that heaven is not heaven. Heaven is not a happy place, God, if you are not there. It is only a happy place because you are there. Because God is the author of happiness. He is the one who gives true happiness. And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. The psalmist says, I don't desire anything else. I desire you because, Lord, you are the one who can give me true happiness. True satisfaction. That's why I desire you. And so he says, Father, my flesh and my heart faileth. Of course, when we weaken, we become sick, we are weakened, and my heart faileth. When does our heart fail? Of course, our heart fails when we die. But he says, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That is all that he was interested in. That was all that mattered to him. God is my strength. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever, which means God is my possession forever. That was all that mattered to him. Yes, because God was the only one who could give him true happiness. So why should the psalmist desire the Lord so much? Because in him is life. In him is everlasting life. In God is joy. In God is peace. In God is true happiness. In him is the real meaning of life. God being his possession, or God being his portion, is all that mattered to him. And those of us who have truly met the Lord Jesus Christ and have placed our lives in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can truly say, I have found peace. I have found joy. I have found peace that passes all understanding. I found joy, even joy unspeakable. Yes, so you see, this woman was in a very, very desperate situation because she could not buy back her health, which means, of course, she could not buy the happiness that she wanted to have. Now then, religiously, you could see that she was also in a desperate position, religiously. See, ceremonially, she would be regarded as one who was unclean, and so she could not come into the congregation of God's people in those days, because according to the laws of Moses, according to the Levitical laws, a person who had this extraordinary issue of blood, she was not having the typical issue of blood that a woman would have in her womanly cycle, but she was having this extraordinary discharge all the time. And because of that, she was regarded as unclean. And because she was unclean, she could not go into the fellowship of the congregation of God's people. In other words, she could not even go near the house of God. She could not go into the temple of the Lord to worship him. So she was actually separated from the temple worship, separated from God's people. My dear friends, surely this is reflective of the spiritual condition, because the condition of a person who does not have the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. His sin will separate him, would have separated him from the one true living God. His sin would have separated him from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his sin, because his sin is not forgiven, he is not part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's dead in sin. Yes, he is actually spiritually dead. And the sad truth is that this spiritual death will continue to be his case if he does not repent from his sin, and if he leaves this earth without repenting from his sins, he continues to suffer this spiritual death. He continues to be separated from the one true living God, and he's going to spend eternity in hell, where he will be tormented day and night for all eternity. So this woman was really in a very miserable situation, separated from the congregation of God's people, separated from the worship of the one true living God. And unbelievers truly are in a miserable condition, separated from the one true living God. They may not want to admit that they are in misery, but the truth is, they are in misery. Yes, objectively, they are in misery, whether they like it or not. The truth is, they are in a desperate situation. Now, let's look next at the determination of this woman to be made whole. She was sick, she wanted to be made whole. So I'd like us to turn back to Matthew chapter 9 and look at verse 20 and 21. Then I want us to turn back to Luke chapter 8. But look at Matthew 9, 20 and 21. Okay. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. If I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And then look at Luke chapter 8, verse 45. All right, turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Peter said to the Lord, the crowd is so big, so many people must have touched you. Then you say, who touched me? Yes, of course the crowd was very, very big. And this big crowd thronging the Lord Jesus Christ would pose as a great obstacle for this woman to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. It was virtually impossible for her to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget, she was in a very miserably sick condition. Her issue of blood must have caused her to be very, very weak. And surely she did not have the strength to force her way to the crowd to try to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. But, and you will remember the case of this short man by the name of Zacchaeus, who found it even very difficult to have a look at the Lord Jesus Christ because the crowd was so great. And of course, Zacchaeus had a very innovative way of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. He climbed up a sycamore tree. Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is the crowd was so big, it was so virtually impossible for this woman to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't forget also that the disciples could be very, very discouraging. The disciples, strangely, when they were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, often were very discouraging to people who wanted to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the case of this woman known as the Syrophoenician woman, whose daughter was demon-possessed, and she wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver her daughter of demon possession. And so she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a Gentile. You know what the disciples said? The disciples told the Lord, send her away. She came and wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ to have her daughter delivered of demon possession. And the disciples said, send her away. That was the attitude of the disciples. And if the disciples were surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ, you think it was easy for this woman to touch the Lord Jesus Christ? I say it was hard for her. Yes, but in spite of all the difficulty, in spite of the near impossibility of the woman's touching the Lord Jesus Christ, she was very, very determined. Verse 21 says, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. If I may touch the garment of his hem, I shall be whole. So you see, nothing could deter her. She was absolutely determined to touch the Lord. She wanted to be healed. My dear friends, are you not impressed by the determination of this woman to seek the Lord Jesus Christ? We all must be. Yes, she was very determined, and we must be very impressed by her determination to seek the Lord. I'd like us to look at the determination of this man. All right, an American man. In the early 1900s, a young man in Missouri in the State Teachers College in Warrenburg sought to get an education. He was so poor, he could not live in town and had to commute 3 miles each day by horseback. He had only one good suit. He tried for a place in a college football team but was rejected. And in spite of his pluckiness, the young man soon developed an inferiority complex. He felt that he was not good enough. Yes, even though he was so plucky, he was so courageous, he plodded on, but he suffered from an inferiority complex. His mother encouraged him to try something he might have potential for. So he tried public speaking, but he failed miserably. At this stage in life, everything he did ended up in failure. But this young man was very, very determined to do well. And you know what? Because of his great determination, he went on to be the best known teacher for public speaking. Remember, he failed when he tried to train up as a public speaker. He failed miserably, but he became the best well-known teacher for public speaking. And he wrote a great book entitled How to Win Friends and to Influence People. You know who he was? Dale Carnegie. Right? Dale Carnegie. Now, that kind of determination is very, very impressive. Yes. Yes, people can be very, very determined to achieve their earthly goals. And they might get what they want because of the sheer determination. And we are talking about earthly goals. But what about our determination to achieve our spiritual goals? What about our spiritual determination to seek the Lord? What about it? Missionaries to China some years ago tell us about the Christians who were very, very determined to seek the Lord. And these were Christians who were known as the underground Christians. And they were very, very determined. They knew that they were they could be arrested by the authority, and if they were arrested, they would be sentenced to jail. But they took the risk. Why? Because they wanted to seek the Lord, and they were very, very determined to seek the Lord. And so they would move from place to place to meet, to worship the Lord. They were very, very determined. That kind of determination is something for us to follow. Are we determined, my dear friends, to seek the Lord every day? How determined are we? Do we every morning, very, very determined every morning to set aside a time for us to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we that determined, my dear friends? Or do we just live every day, let every day go by with that kind of determination? Friends, we must make up our mind and we must be very determined. Every day, Lord, I want to spend time with you. And every day, my dear friends, we must also be very determined to ask ourselves this question. Or tell the Lord this: Lord, what is it you want me for? What is it you want me to do for the day? What is your will for me to do for the day? Yes, I want to do it. Lord, please let me know. Are we very, very willing every morning to pray that prayer? Lord, I want to do your will. Then are we very determined to come to the house of the Lord to worship him regularly and on time, punctually? Are we very determined? My dear friends, that's the challenge for all of us. And that kind of determination is something that we must have. Or if, you know, at the slightest inconvenience, or if we are slightly under the weather, we say, Lord, please excuse me. Today I don't think I'm fit enough to come into your house to worship you. No, my dear friends, the Lord does not want us to have that kind of lack of determination. In Australia, I know that there are people who drive hours to go to worship, to go to the house of the Lord to worship him. I know of at least this one couple in one of our Bible Presbyterian churches who would drive for at least 2 or 3 hours every Lord's Day, not just one Lord's Day, but every Lord's Day to go to the house of the Lord to worship him. Yes, they'll drive these 2 or 3 hours every day to and fro. Yes. Now that is the kind of determination that is quite similar to the kind of determination this woman had in seeking the Lord. And that is the kind of determination that we must have in seeking the Lord. Then I'd like us to look at the woman's deliverance. Yes, she was delivered from her illness. The deliverance came when she touched the hem of the Lord's garment. 43, Luke 8:43. and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. In other words, her blood stopped flowing. The issue of blood stopped. What was it that healed her? Was it her action of touching the hem of the Lord's garment, or was it her faith? What do you think? Which one healed her? Faith or her action to touch the hem of the Lord's garment? Yes. All right, it was faith. All right, faith followed by the action. Because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. The Lord says it very, very clearly. But without faith, it is impossible for him, for a man to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, so it was faith. But the faith must be followed by action, and that's why she reached out to touch the hem of the Lord's garment. How much faith should we have so that we will be able to please the Lord? How much faith? Big faith or small faith? Of course, the big faith will please the Lord. The more faith we have, the more we will please the Lord. But it is also true. The great Spurgeon says, all right, big faith is good. Good for us is a it's a big blessing for us if we have big faith. Right? But let us not think that small faith is no matter, because small faith is important. All right, but big faith is better. He says this, a small faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings us to heaven. True or not true? Small faith in the Lord Jesus Christ brings us to heaven. True or not true? You dare not answer. True, of course. It's absolutely true. Small faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will bring us to heaven. But big faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will bring heaven down to us. You know how wonderful it is to have big faith. So when we have this big faith, our life on this earth will be a very heavenly experience if we have this big faith. Now our faith may be great, but if it is faith in the boat that sinks, that faith is useless. True, big faith, but you big faith in the boat, but the boat sinks, that faith is useless. But small faith in a boat that is unsinkable is faith that is very valuable. And thank God, yes, the bigness of our God does not depend on our faith. He is inherently great. He's almighty, all-powerful. Yes, he's all-knowing, and he's very, very faithful towards us. So our faith in him, my dear friends, is not in vain. Yes, because our faith is in the one true living God who never fails us. Next, I'd like us to see that this woman came with faith for healing, and she went away and received something far, far greater than what she came to ask the Lord for. You look at verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." In other words, power is gone out of me to touch somebody, to heal somebody. Verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she could not hide herself anymore, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, how she was healed immediately. In other words, she declared that the Lord healed me. I came to him, I touched him, and the Lord by his power healed me. Verse 48. And he said unto her, Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Your faith hath made thee whole." She was not only healed physically. The issue of blood stench. She was not only healed physically, but she was also healed spiritually. Yes, she received salvation of her soul. Now, isn't it the case with many of us? We mess up our lives, then we came to the Lord Jesus Christ to clear up that mess. And the Lord very, very graciously and very kindly cleared up the mess for us. And not only did he clear up the mess, he made us whole. He gave us everlasting life. He gave us life eternal. He gave us life that is abundant. That's what he gave us. Yeah, we asked him to clear up our mess. He cleared up our mess. And we got more than what we wanted. He gave us everlasting life. Some people come to the Lord because they experienced a brokenheartedness. The heart was broken. They came to the Lord for healing, and the Lord healed the brokenheartedness. And not only that, the Lord not only healed their brokenheartedness, but the Lord also granted them everlasting life, salvation. I could have told you about this woman by the name of Mrs. Chandra. Mrs. Chandra was a Malay Muslim woman in Singapore some many years ago. Her son suffered from leukemia, and then she somehow got in touch with Reverend Timothy Toh, our very, very senior pastor, to ask him to come and heal her son. Reverend Toh went. And Reverend Toh told her, I have no power to heal your son. Only the Lord Jesus can heal your son. Yes, in accordance to his will, he may heal your son, but you must first of all come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Malay woman, a Muslim, said, yes, I'm willing to believe in Jesus Christ. And so she came and trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Yes, and did the Lord heal her son? Yes, the Lord very, very miraculously performed this great miracle, healed her son. But she got something better than the healing of her son. She got salvation, received salvation from the Lord. And because of her great faith in the Lord honored her faith. And because the Lord honored her faith, a church was started in the home, and that was the beginning of one of our Bible Presbyterian churches in Singapore, the Bethlehem Bible Presbyterian Church. So that's the origin of one of our Bible Presbyterian churches, the Bethlehem Bible Presbyterian Church. So you see how kind, how generous, how gracious our God is, how loving He is. He not only delivers us from our sins, if we seek Him, my dear friends, He will pour down abundantly His blessings upon us. Now next, let's see the declaration of faith of this woman. Right, the declaration of faith of this woman. Verse 46, Luke 8. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she could not hide herself longer, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him, before whom? Before all the people. She didn't just keep quiet. She declared before all the people, before the big crowd, for what cause she had touched him, why she came and touched the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the Lord Jesus Christ healed her immediately. Now, why did the Lord say, who touched me? Now, the whole purpose of the Lord saying this was to urge this woman to publicly confess him. You understand? That's why the Lord said, who touched me? Yes, and it was good for her to confess the Lord, because it was to her blessing that she confessed the Lord. Because this confession of faith in the one true living God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, would confirm her faith in her heart. Yes. Now, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must necessarily want to confess Him, because this confession of faith will really confirm the faith that is in our heart. We already have that faith, true. But our confession of faith will confirm that we have that faith in our heart, that we truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now consider the blessing of confessing Him and the warning against not confessing Him, the warning against denying Him. Look at, I read for you, Matthew 10, 32-33. The Lord says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You confess me, I'll confess you before the Heavenly Father. But if any whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before the Father which is in heaven. So friends, I'd like to ask those who have believed in Him, you have already trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. True. So do you have faith in your heart? You say, yes, I have faith in my heart. So my next question is, why aren't you confessing the Lord, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have that faith in your heart, then you must desire to be baptized. You must desire to want to confess the Lord publicly to receive this special blessing from the Lord. Yes, because if you confess the Lord, your confession will confirm the faith that you have in the one true living God. Now, as the Lord had the desire for this woman to confess His healing of this woman, He has the desire for you to confess Him through holy baptism. So if you have not confessed Him through holy baptism, I urge you that you will make up your mind that you will want to confess Him publicly. It is for your own blessing if you were to confess Him. Now, what would the public confession of this woman do for those who hurt her? Yeah, who hurt her? What would this do? Surely it would impress on the people who hurt her that this Messiah that the Lord Jesus Christ, this woman came before to be healed of her disease, is the all-powerful Messiah, the one true living God. Yes, He's all-powerful, He's well able to heal. Yes, and likewise, my dear friends, your testimony, public testimony of the salvation grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to impress people who hear your testimony and who observe your baptism or observe your confession of faith. They are going to see you, hear you testify that the Lord is good, that the Lord is merciful, the Lord is full of grace, the Lord is full of love, and the Lord has saved you by His grace. They will hear that from you if you publicly confess Him. You remember the case of the Samaritan woman who met the Lord Jesus Christ at Jacob's well. She came to Jacob's well to draw water from the well. And that day she met the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave her living water. And the Lord said, if you partake of this living water, you will never thirst again. And so the Lord gave her the living water. That day she came and trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, did she keep that faith, her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to herself? No. She immediately confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. So she left her water pots behind and went to the city and told the folks in the city how the Lord Jesus Christ had told her everything about her. And the folks in the city were so impressed by the testimony of this man that they came and saw the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. And because of her testimony, and then they came and saw the Lord Jesus Christ, many of them came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Likewise, my dear friends, we ought to be confessing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior publicly, so that through our confession, by baptism, by our daily living, by our interaction with other people, my dear friends, people are going to be impressed through our testimony, the power of the gospel, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through our confession, they will come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. So let's consider again the desperation of this woman. Desperately, physically, she was desperate. She was suffering from an incurable disease for 12 years, and for sure, her illness was hastening her to her death. And then financially, she was in trouble also because she had spent all her money, but she could not get the cure that she wanted to get. And most of all, she could not get the happiness that she wanted to get because she thought that if she was healed, she would be able to get the happiness that she was going to get. And since she was not going to, since she was not healed, she was not getting the happiness that she got. Then spiritually, she was also in trouble. She was in a miserable condition because she was separated from God's people. She could not participate in the temple worship because of her uncleanness. Indeed, her desperate situation very much reflects our situation if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let us recognize that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a very desperate situation because death is something that is inevitable. The woman was hastening towards her death. Now we, all of us, are moving towards our death. And for unbelievers, they are moving towards their death also, of course. But after death in this world, my dear friends, if they leave this world without trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are going to perish for all eternity. They are going to spend eternity separated from the one true living God. They are in a very desperate situation. They might not realize it, or they might not want to admit it. But the truth is, objectively, you take away all the feelings, objectively, people who are unbelievers are in a very desperate situation. Then, spiritually, yes, unbelievers are separated from the one true living God, just as this woman was separated from the one from the temple worship and from God's people because of her uncleanness. But the Lord Jesus Christ is able to meet every of our needs. He's able to get us out of this desperate situation that we are in. He's able to satisfy us. He's able to give us everlasting life. He's well able to reconcile us back to the one true living God, so that we are no longer separated from Him. And through Him, my dear friends, we are able to enjoy true joy, joy unspeakable. Through Him, we are able to enjoy peace that passes all understanding. And in Him, we have true happiness. And as this woman was very determined to seek the Lord, let us be very, very determined to seek the Lord. She has set a very, very great example for us. So, my dear friends, the right thing for us every morning is for us to be very, very determined to want to seek the Lord. Let us set apart time for us to seek Him. And every day, let's be very, very determined to tell the Lord, Lord, please tell me what I should be doing today. What is your will for me today? Lord, I want to do your will today. That is what we should be saying every day, and we must be very determined to do that. And this woman plucked up enough courage to confess the Lord. Likewise, my dear friends, let us all be very bold to confess the Lord. And those who are still outside, and those who have not been baptized yet, if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, why are you holding back? Pluck up courage. Come and be baptized. Confess Him publicly. And that will be a great blessing to you, because it's going to confirm the faith that you have in your heart that the Lord has given to you. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you, O Lord God, for the example that was set by this woman. Lord, we thank you for the determination that she had in seeking you to get out of the desperate situation that she was in. Lord, we pray that we may, like her, be very, very determined to seek you. And Father, we pray that we may also be very bold in wanting to confess you, as she was very bold in confessing you. And Father, we pray for those here who have not known you as Lord and Savior yet. Enable them to realize that they are indeed in a very desperate situation. They may not be very knowing of it, but Lord, we pray that your mighty Holy Spirit may work in them to cause them to realize that they are indeed in desperate need of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Cause them today, O Lord God, to come and believe in Him as Lord and Savior. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.